My next guest is Brad Ball, CEO of Liquid Strategies, who in the fall of last year, they launched a unique lineup of ETFs called Overlay Shares. There are five ETFs in all. As you can likely gather by the name, these ETFs use what's called an overlay strategy to help manage risk. And Brad is the portfolio manager for these ETFs. He's now on the line with me from Atlanta. Brad, a pleasure having you on the show.
Great to be here, Nate. Thank you for having me.
Brad, before we get to the ETFs, give us some quick background on your firm, Liquid Strategies, and perhaps how you decided to get involved in ETFs.
Yeah, Nate. Well, Liquid Strategies was started in 2013, a subsidiary of another company that we fully spun out shortly thereafter. And our specialty has been, as you said, in overlays, but those overlays were historically mostly done for institutional investors only. So for large pension plans, extremely wealthy, mega wealthy type people in very large separate account structures. So the whole push towards moving to the ETFs is sort of a combination of kind of democratization of using overlays for sort of everyday people, but it's also a function of sort of bringing them into a better package for that type of a usage. So in an ETF structure, it makes them more available for everyday users, so you don't need those super large separate accounts that we had to have for institutions.
And as I mentioned, there are five ETFs in all, and you call these ovals, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, that's kind of, I guess, Wall Street has a way of nicknaming them.
No, I love that. I think it has a nice ring to it. It sort of reminds me of like spiders or something. So I think that's fantastic. Now, these ETFs all use what's called a put spread option strategy. I'm sure some of our listeners may not be familiar with that. You want to briefly explain what that is?
Yeah, really, it's simple. I think the word option scares a lot of people, and there's really no reason for it. I'm actually excited to see on TV all the time a lot of commercials trying to feature options, because it just is, you know, anything that's foreign might scare people, and so put option sounds very intimidating. But really, all it is think of it as insurance. The market every day, lots of investors, whether they're hedge funds or individual investors, have concerns about market sell-offs, and so they buy insurance for that sell-off, and that's known as a put. So what happens is people continuously have a desire for those puts, and they continuously buy them. The only problem is, statistically speaking, of all options, only about 75% of all options expire worthless or strongly diminished from their original value. So if you've got an option that people are constantly buying and not needing, just like your car insurance, you buy it and don't need it most of the time, then people tend to overpay for those things. And so all we're doing is taking advantage of people's sort of constant concern of market sell-off that oftentimes is unnecessary, and we sell insurance on it. Now, when we use the word put spread, so we add that one word to the end of put, all that means is that we also, however, if you will, buy reinsurance. So we sell insurance, and then we buy protection further away from that point. So all the investor's really doing is taking a small risk slice of the marketplace.
Okay, so let's take the Overlay Shares Large Cap Equity ETF. The ticker symbol is OVO. Let's take that as an example. Walk us through exactly how that strategy works.
Yeah, so all that happens is, every time we get a new dollar into it, we actually buy another ETF, which is a very unique combination. So what we actually do is purchase an S&P 500 low-cost index ETF, and that's really going to give you the return of the S&P 500. So all we're trying to do is start with investors of getting sort of the underlying strategy for each of these. So in this case, the S&P 500. Then we do our overlay strategy on top of it. By doing it this way in an ETF structure, even though we have a bunch of small investors, when you add them together, it looks like one large investor, which enables us to run our overlay strategy. So from that S&P 500, we use that as collateral. We add to it this put spread where we sell downside protection on the S&P 500 and then reinsure it about 3% below that. So what happens is, by taking that incremental 3% market risk on the S&P 500, investors are going to capture an incremental amount of return over time that is very meaningful. So what we're trying to target is generating 3 to 5% incremental return over the top of that underlying benchmark. So in this case, the S&P 500 plus a target of 3 to 5%.
Brad, can you take us through perhaps a few different market scenarios and what might happen? So maybe we can do this just at a very basic level. What happens if the S&P 500 is, let's say, up 20%, down 20%, and then flat? Again, just at a very basic level, what should an investor expect from this ETF?
Yeah, what's great about the way options are priced is there's a component to them called implied volatilities, and that alters how much you pay for that insurance, just like there's risky insurance contracts and less risky insurance contracts. So the good news is that when the market's more volatile, you generate more premium. You get to sell those insurance policies for more premium, and when the market's less volatile, you collect less premium. So it's somewhat self-adjusting, but giving your specific example, market up 20%, you are going to be able to sell an option and collect all that premium. In most cases, you'd be able to collect all the premium generated, which would be a very attractive scenario, and most always end up with a nice positive return. In a flat market, it's really the same type of outcome. If I'm selling downside protection and the market's not going down, it's sort of flat, then I'm going to be able to keep all the insurance premium I collected. That's not a bad thing for us. The down is where it gets a little bit more complicated. If it's down a little, we're probably likely going to win because we still sell the insurance contracts that we sell are out of the money. They're not sort of right where the current market price is. So you've got some buffer before you start taking any losses whatsoever. But if the market goes down by more than 1.5% or 2% on a weekly basis, that's where we begin to win because the contracts that we sell are very short dated. They're only about 1 week in duration typically. So what we're looking for is that the market has to be sharply down quickly. And so by moves that are down by, say, more than 1.5% or 2% on a weekly basis is where investors start taking some risk. But again, as I mentioned, because we further reinsure them at about 3% below the insurance contract that we sell, then that means that investors are really only taking about a 3% market risk. So you can, you know, theoretically lose 3% in most anything out there in the investment world, any kind of risk asset. So up 20, great, flat, great. Down by 5%, you're going to experience some reasonable capture of that. By more than that, you're going to stop losing any further after that. So it's kind of that little bit of risk window that you're taking.
But just to be clear, let's take the up 20% scenario. If the underlying ETF that OVL holds is an S&P 500 ETF, theoretically you would be up 20%. And then in addition to that, you would have some incremental income from the put spread option strategy. Is that right?
Yeah, and I'm really glad you clarified that. I was referring to the option portion of it, so you're correct. On the up 20, you'd get the S&P's 20 plus our incremental target of 3-5, hopefully.
Okay.
And then the same would hold true in each of those other scenarios. Same thing with down. We could be down by a few percent in addition to the down 20% of the
perfect. S&P. That's what I was going to ask. Okay, so yeah. you there is a little bit of extra risk there on the downside if you had a sharp down move or a quick move, as you pointed out. To the downside.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, on the equity side, you also offer a small cap version of the strategy, as well as an international version. And then you have two bond strategies. One's a core bond strategy. The other is municipal bonds. Do these all essentially follow the same process?
They do. And in each case, the only difference is the underlying investment. So as you mentioned on the bond side, it's the Barclays aggregate, very commonly used index ETF. AGG is the underlying for that one. And for the municipal bond, it's a municipal bond index ETF. So it's the exact same approach, and the overlay is exactly the same on each of those ETF structures as well. So you hit the key point is there can be intermediate volatility along the way with these. But, you know, the way we like to think of it is investors can sort of manage that risk in two ways. One is they can build up a war chest. If you're up 3-5% every year over any period of time, you've started to develop a significant amount of outperformance that can help dampen any market volatility that we might come across. But the other thing that happens is because investors can now get an incremental 3-5%, you're actually able to use these differently in your portfolio.
And all of the other four ETFs here, they're also using a put option spread strategy on the S&P 500?
That is correct. And the reason for that is because it's the most liquid, readily accessed insurance that people purchase on the market. So it's incredibly, there's hundreds of billions of dollars a day. So occasionally you hear people ask questions about how liquid the market is and in a market sell-off. This is the most liquid equity instrument, the S&P 500, in the market. And so you're selling insurance on it, which is also incredibly liquid and tons of volume.
Are there any issues with, I'm going to call it a mismatch of asset classes, right? So like what if bonds go up and you own the core bond strategy oval, and the S&P 500 goes down. I guess, how should investors think about that in terms of risk?
Yeah, so I think we're actually weirdly living through one of those situations now. So if you kind of look at, we launched these October 1st of 2018, and since that period of time, bonds have been volatile. They've been up and down because people's lack of clarity on what the Fed's going to do with rates. And so as the market's kind of gone up and down, bonds haven't really gone much of anywhere during that period of time. But our overlay strategy has been able to generate some nice incremental return. So you are correct in your question that they can behave differently, or in the industry we use the word correlation, so they're low correlated. So what can happen is sometimes your bonds are up and the equities can also be up, or your bonds could be up and your equities could be down and they could offset each other. Or what's been happening more recently is your bonds have been underperforming and our overlay's been able to make up for it. So if you think about an equity situation like we I think a lot of people are concerned about, at some point rates will likely start going back up again. And at that point in time, these bonds that are everyone's sort of safety mechanism or the ballast in their portfolio may begin to underperform, and potentially dramatically if rates start to go up in any dramatic fashion. So this overlay could dampen some of that volatility, or perhaps even overcome all of it, and helping your bonds behave in the way that you want them to. And you're not taking full market risk, you're just taking a little sliver of market risk that can help offset some of that risk. And on the other hand, if bonds do well, if rates go down, you're going to get the benefit of that, plus hopefully the benefit of the overlay.
And these ETFs are all actively managed, correct?
They are. And we've got a team that's got 40, 50 years of options experience, and we are at battle stations all day, every day. And that's the other thing, is that because options can, you know, be a little technical, this is a thing that a lot of investors struggle to do for themselves. So it's definitely something that's a good idea to have people who are constantly doing it all day, every day. So it's an extremely actively managed strategy. At any given day, we could be selling put spreads, closing them out, putting new ones on. So it's a very actively managed strategy.
Out of curiosity, for the underlying ETFs owned in each of the ovals, how do you decide which ones to use?
Yeah, so we've studied each of them very closely, and it's a function of their the way they track. How closely do they match the underlying benchmark that they're targeting? So it's interesting at that particular scenario. We're in essence the consumer on behalf of all of our clients, and we're looking for tracking error, we're looking for volume, and we're also focused on what the fee is, because at the end of the day, the S&P 500 index options, just using that one as an example, all perform relatively similar. They have some nuances to them, but you're also looking to get it for as low a cost as possible. So this scale that we're using, when we combine all these smaller investors together in an ETF, gives us great scale and the ability to be terrific consumers on their behalf. So you're getting that really terrific selection of the underlying asset, and then you're getting our overlay on top. So again, this is strategy that billionaire families or pension plans have used in the past to be able to access this kind of a strategy, and now it's available for every investor for a $25, $30 investment for one share. So it's really a super attractive vehicle that's been made available to them.
So, Brett, let's boil this down for investors. Where exactly do these ETFs fit in a portfolio? How do you see them being used? And I realize, again, there's five different asset classes here, but high level, how should investors think about using these within the confines of a portfolio?
So for an investor who's got a moderate to, I'll say intermediate to longer term horizon, I would like to think of them using these asset classes as the same corresponding underlying. So for example, where you use an S&P 500 index ETF, use our S&P 500 index ETF instead of it, because you're going to get the benefit of the incremental return on top of it. And over time, that will hopefully generate significant outperformance. For the same thing for your small cap, for your foreign stock, your bond, and your municipal bond. So for investors that have an intermediate time frame, just replace that underlying corresponding asset class with these. And even active, if you use an active small cap or an active large cap, just replace these passive for those actives. We like to think of this as a better source of alpha, because our ability to generate consistent returns through the overlay is hopefully going to be a lot more consistent than the ability for active management to outperform through stock selection. So that's the general way. But the other interesting twist I wanted to comment, Nate, was that because of this incremental 3 to 5% return, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, because of this incremental return, Investors, it gives them an opportunity to rethink their asset allocation to begin with. So, for example, a lot of people, whether it's the coronavirus or the political scenario out there that exists, and if investors are anxious about equity prices and where we're at, they might use this as an opportunity to say, well, with bonds only getting 2 or 3%, maybe it's not a huge doesn't tempt people that much to come out of equities for that kind of a return. But if you can get 3% on your bonds, plus you can get an extra 3 to 5 on our overlay, now bonds could deliver you something in the order of 6 to 8% return, then investors are starting to step back and say, okay, maybe I'm not as willing to take equity risk if I can get that kind of a return on my fixed income portfolio. So I think what our ovals do across the board is they can be in a pure replacement approach, just a straight-up replacement that hopefully over time is better return, or they afford investors to step back, rethink about their asset allocation, and think if they could achieve their objectives in a more conservative fashion, de-risking those underlying elements, because at the end of the day, the incremental risk that our overlay adds is pretty nominal. The biggest portion of the risk with most of the portfolio is actually the underlying asset. So these give investors a way to rethink all that.
Brad, for investors who listen to all that and they go, that absolutely is a compelling strategy, you know, sounds like something that I would like to implement. And I always played a little bit of devil's advocate on this show. What about investors who just say, you know what, I'll do it on my own. I'll skip the fund fee, which for your ETFs, I believe, is somewhere between 78 and 96 basis points. That includes the acquired fund fees, the underlying ETFs held. Why use overlay shares instead of doing it on your own, I guess is the question.
Yeah, it's a totally fair question. And you know, there might be some investors that it does make sense for. If an investor is extremely options literate, and if they're at battle stations at their computer all day, every day, kind of paying attention, and that's just their thing, they absolutely could run a strategy, and many do. But for most investors, that's not how they function. We're also, so yes, our fee is 75 basis points added to whatever those underlying ETFs that we acquire. So those are the same ETFs they would spend if they were just acquiring those underlying ETFs themselves. So those are not incremental fees to us. So ours is 75 basis points. But what they're doing is paying somebody at a 75 basis point fee the ability to sort of watch it all day, every day, and to be constantly in tune with what's going on in the risk marketplace, whether they're on vacation or the golf course or wherever they might be. So, again, I think each investor has to make that decision, what's the best scenario for them. But if you can generate, you know, we've done some statistics, and if you go back and have added 3 to 5% to any of those underlying market returns, the fund that you would be investing in would have immediately become pretty much the best fund in that category in Morningstar or Lipper or any of the other services that evaluate funds. So these we hope and expect to be super attractive total return scenarios for these investors. They're going to be able to hopefully improve upon all those underlying things and really enjoy that incremental return. And I would say, you know, the other comment is apparently a lot of other investors feel the same way. We've had, this week we expect to be crossing the 200 million mark, and these were just launched 4 short months ago. So for newly launched ETFs, they're gaining rather quick adoption, and one of the funds is sort of knocking at 75 million, one is over 50 million, and the others are all in that 20 to 30 range. So we're really seeing consistent selection across the board and a good amount of interest, because I think a lot of investors understand how often do people not say, well, gosh, I wish I was an insurance company. They make all the money. They sell these insurance policies they never have to pay on. And that's much the same on these options, is that oftentimes these contracts don't have to ever pay anything, and they're just pure profit. So an awful lot of investors have an interest in participating in that type of a structure, and now they can in a really easy-to-use ETF.
Well, and that's a great point. We all know how hard it is for new ETFs to get off the ground, and clearly investors are seeing the value here because, as you mentioned, you're approaching $200 million in assets, which for this short period of time is highly impressive. Brad, we'll have to leave it there. Congratulations on all the success so far. I love the innovation in the ETF wrapper. Excellent perspective this week. Appreciate you joining me.
Thank you, Nate.
That was Brad Ball, CEO of Liquid Strategies and portfolio manager for Overlay Shares.